chapter number 3. Last Sunday, we probably had one of the best services we've had here in several months. And I sure am glad we have a Bible that's still right. We have a Savior that wants to meet with all of His people. I was dealing last week with where Jesus said He must needs go through Samaria. There was a woman came to the well, and He gave her something that she really didn't come there to get. She left her water pot, went home with water that she would never thirst again. Said He must needs go to Samaria. Let's look at this word must again in the Gospel of John. There are 4 mentions of it. I love to stay on a theme and try to teach people what the Word of God says. Matter of fact, this morning in John 3, if you study this out, many commentators say that there's 2 of the most powerful verses in John 3 that's ever been written in the Bible. And I want us to see one of those this morning, John 3. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you're able to today, we'll honor the reading of the Word in John's Gospel, chapter number 3. The Bible said in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus' watch by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked him this question. It was a good question. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And here's our phrase in verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You can be seated today. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. You know, I get to preach in several places. Brother Jeremy, there's no place like this place in my heart. I appreciate God and what He's done for us in these days. I want to preach on out of that must today on you must be born again. Now, first of all, let's notice the man of the text. He's a unique individual. Matter of fact, he's only mentioned 3 times in our Bible. For the Word says there was a man. He had a living soul. He had a heart that beat. And He said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, let's look at his party. He was a Pharisee. They were very religious people. And I want you to listen to this phrase. They made religion about externals instead of internals. They made much about religious externals on doing, 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 don't, and do. They made much of religious externals. That's what religion is about in America today. Religion will let you die and go to hell in your sin. There's a lot of religious people. Most everybody that I speak with, have you been saved? Oh yeah, we know about Jesus. We got religion. Religion lets you die and go to hell in your sin. See, I still believe the Bible teaches heaven or hell. And so we see this man's party. He's a Pharisee. They made much of externals, but they knew nothing about the internals, the working of the heart toward God. They were caught up in the most religious party of the Pharisees. They were Jews, and they were in the higher level of the people. Matter of fact, Nicodemus, writers say he was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was 40 men that would get together and they would judge and rule the people before they went to the higher authority. This man knew a lot about religion. So Nicodemus, this man, we see his party, but then look at his position. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was high as you could get in religion. Then we see in verse 10, Jesus said something to him. Not only we see about his party and his position, but look at his profession, what he did for a living in verse 10. Jesus referred to him, he said, "Art thou a master of Israel?" He was a great teacher. He taught people the law. If you could hear him teach, I mean, he could tell you all about the law. But he didn't know nothing about the grace of God. And so here we see this man. But then secondly, we see this meeting. Now, I want to commend Nicodemus for several things today. Verse 26, he came to Jesus by night. You see, he was in the dark. There's a lot of people got religion, they in the dark. And so he came to Jesus by night. Matter of fact, every time you see Nicodemus mentioned in the Bible, it uses this phrase about him, that he came to Jesus by night. Now, a lot of people will say this, and I understand, say that the Pharisees didn't like Jesus because they felt like that he was not keeping the law. They were looking for the Messiah, and Jesus had come, but they didn't believe it was Jesus because he walked in this earth as a lowly man like you and I. So they were looking for somebody as a king in pomp and in glory, but Jesus was a very humble man and lowly man. And so here we see this meeting that simply it was a time of darkness. Now he came to Jesus by night, meaning to say that he was ashamed to be seen. He came to Jesus in the darkness of the night, maybe because his members of the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees wouldn't know that he gave Jesus much thought. But something got to working in old Nicodemus. And so we see this meeting that he was in the dark. I want to say, with a spiritual application, he was in the dark. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3, as Paul's writing, listen what he has to say. He says, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So we see this meeting, it was a time of darkness. He came in the night hour, but yet we see spiritually, he was lost and undone. He knew nothing about the light of Christ. He was in total darkness. Then secondly, in this meeting, not only was there a darkness, but I like his desire. In verse number 2, he came to Jesus by night and he said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things unless God be with him. He had a desire to know more about Jesus. I want to ask you, even though you may be in your darkness, do you have a desire in you to know more about Jesus? I sure am glad that my appetite got whetted by the good Spirit of God, began to deal with my heart, and I wanted to know more about Jesus. May I say, He's a wonderful Savior today. He's a friend of sinners. So this meeting, we see this darkness and this desire, but now notice the details of this meeting. It's found in verse number 3 all the way through 6. Now, Jesus answered him, and look how he answered him. You remember the woman at the well last week, and I explained this for a moment, how Jesus began to deal with her. He didn't just get right up in his face like he is with Nicodemus. He was very slow in moving. He dealt with this woman. He talked with her about the water that I offer to you. You'll never thirst again. She was confused. She said, well, sir, you don't even have nothing to draw this water. And he said, well, if you knew the water that I was telling you about, you would ask of me to give it to you. And so she said, well, Lord, give me that water. And you remember how he answered her? He said, well, go home to your husband. Come back. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You have no husband, but you've had several. So we see that he dealt with her about her sin. He dealt with her slowly. But here Nicodemus, he's a man that seems to sort of know everything about the law. And Jesus just absolutely pulls both barrels. And this is what he says. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The details. Jesus was very specific. He had no reason to go in this so gentle with him, it's as he just put it right up to where he lived. You must be born again. I wish that'd shake everybody in the building this morning. Let you realize there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. This culture we live, it is desensitized hell. People don't believe in hell. Now, hell is a byword. But hell is a bad word. It's in your Bible. It's a place you don't want to go where you'll spend eternity. This morning, we see this meeting and its details. It goes on and progresses. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, he had this question. And you've got to realize now, Nicodemus is an older man. He's acquired a lot of things in his religion. He's at the top rung of the ladder. And he asks them question, how can a man be born when he's old? It's a good question. And then he said, can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? How can this be? A man must be born again. A man asked me about this 3 Sundays ago. And he said, I've got this question, preacher. What's about this being born again? Well, Jesus means what he said. You must be born again. Now, watch this text. I'm going someplace. Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want to say 2 things about this that I feel like would be right. I try to study everything I preach. And you can get every writer in all the commentaries, they've got 2 views of this verse. And I think they're both could be right. Now look what he says. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb again and be born? And then Jesus says this. He says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Now, if we'll take our Bible, look in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Some of the writers say this, well, man must be born of a woman physically. In the water sack of their mother, they must be born. We all agree with that. You've got to be born before you can be born again. But another view is the Word of God as the water. It teaches us many times the washing of the Word. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. So, I want to take it as the water of the Word this morning. The Word must go out, then the Spirit is involved. That's why we're very dedicated here in preaching. While we could come in and sing a few songs, and I'd give you a little nursery rhyme and never upset nobody. Matter of fact, if you've got a preacher that don't ever bother you, you need to get you another preacher. Because that Word of God, honey, it is a sword, and it cuts on both edges. It cuts me and it cuts you alike. So the Word of God must go out. There is the Word of God, and the Spirit of God begins to deal with people. We see this meeting. Nicodemus asked him, he said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, well, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's born of the Spirit, spirit. But marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Takes me to my third point. Not only do we see this man, this meeting, but now look at this marvel in verse 7. Jesus said, I know you're a smart man, Nicodemus. He said, you're one of the smartest. I mean, you have arrived as high as you can get. But don't be astounded because I told you that. Marvel not. You know, it shouldn't surprise us to understand that religion won't get us to heaven this morning. Marvel not. Nicodemus was took back. I would sort of love to watch him. And you know, as I said last Sunday, some of the hardest people to reach is religious people. I do good, pay my tithes, I go to church, live the best I can. Well, I want to ask you something. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever met Jesus by faith? Not asking you, have you joined a church? Not asking if you've been baptized. A lot of kids, this is what is so pitiful in religion. A lot of little children, they're confirmed when they're a child. A priest or a preacher stand over them when they're young and they will confirm them, put a little water on their head. But honey, that's not a born again experience. You must realize that you are a sinner and you need the Savior and turn to Him and repent of your sins and follow Christ. Amen. Jesus said, marvel not, Nicodemus. I know it's took you back a little bit. There was a lady here not long ago. Couple weeks, I'll be going again to Montgomery, Alabama. There's 11 state institutions there. I'll be going in that environment. I'll be inviting prisoners to come to the chapel service at night. We'll preach. Many times we see many people put their trust in Christ and be saved. But I remember before we added these wings on this church, I was going to this campaign, and I told you all that I was going to preach to the prisoners Monday. When I walked out, you know what that lady told me? Now, she's not here now. She couldn't take the preaching. Somebody say amen. Brother Steve, you know what she said? I can't believe you're going to preach to them kind of people. I said, y'all love this. I said, hon, the only reason I ain't in there, I didn't get caught. Somebody say amen. Boy, hadn't God been good to us? Your religion will let you die and go to hell. Have you ever met Jesus? You see, we better all realize where our bread's buttered this morning. There's none good, no, not one's what this Bible says. And Jesus, the greatest man that ever lived, He said you must be born again. Marvel not that I said it. Today, we see this marvel. Don't doubt it. Don't deny it. He means what He said. Then the fourth point that I want to say today, not only the man, the meeting, and the marvel, but look at the must. It's in the same text verse. The must. He says, He didn't use it the first time when He told him. You see, He said, He simply told him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." In verse 3. But now when He says it again, He uses this phrase I'm interested in verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." The must be born again. There are five verses in our Bible. Did you know that? Could you tell me what they are? Five verses is mentioned in our Bible. Well, the first one, what we call the soil birth, Adam. He was taken from the dirt of the ground. God made Adam. I love what the Hendersons used to sing, "Just a speck of dirt is all I am." So there was a soil birth. Then the second birth was a surgical birth. You remember that? When Eve was brought forth, she came from Adam's side. There was a procedure went on, a surgical procedure that God did and brought Eve from Adam's side. Let me give you a little home remedy there. God did not bring the woman from under His feet to be stepped on or over His head to be higher. But He brought her out of His side to be beside of Him. We must love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So we see these births. There was a soil birth. There was a surgical birth. Then we all know the sac birth. I've mentioned that. That's when a baby is born from the water sac of his mother, the way we've all got here. Then there's a fourth birth. That's what we call the Savior's birth. Never been one like it, never be another like it again. He is born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. Born in a lowly stable, and Christ came forth. Said His name would be Emmanuel, God with us. There's never been a birth like that birth. But the fifth verse the Bible teaches us about is that of the spiritual birth. When a man, woman, boy, or girl puts their faith in Christ, they are born again, born from above. And it'll change everything in your life. So the must. You must be born again. Then I close with the mystery. I love my Bible. Look in this text, the mystery. Verse number 8. He told him, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Now don't miss this, the mystery. "The wind bloweth where it listeth." You know what that means? Where it's sent. It bloweth where it listeth. "Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So watch is every one that is born of the Spirit," capital. Spiritual birth. Have you ever been born again? Let me ask you this. Are you interested in preaching? Are you interested in the songs of Zion? Or would you rather hear Achy Breaky Heart? Do you enjoy being in church with your brother and sisters? Do you have an eye for spiritual things? Do you have an ear for spiritual things? Or do you just have religion? Jesus said you must be born again. Now in this great mystery, He speaks of the wind. And He's explaining the ways of the Spirit. Now you that's been here long enough, we have a very spiritual church. There's times that we come in here and it seems like that God is doing nothing. There's sometimes we come in here like last Sunday, and man, the Spirit is doing things that we sense and we realize. And we all know that we go to a church where the Spirit of God moves. And I want to say thank you. Could you imagine going to a place in dead religion and everything so planogrammed and programmed? They never give a place in there for God to move. There's a lot of good churches in America. And they are the churches where the Spirit of God meets with their people. Now watch what He says about the Spirit. It is mysterious. The wind's a very amazing thing. The other day, I was looking, the wind wasn't blowing any place. And you know what we done? We got our boat out, got out there on the water behind the house, and guess what happened? The wind started blowing. The wind. Oh, how we need the wind blowing again in our service. I remember one morning before some of you will remember before we put these wings on, we had stained glass in both of these openings, and I was preaching on that text out of Acts chapter number 2 with the wind blowing. And all of a sudden that wind got up and started just howling through those windows. I'll never forget that as long as I live. It's a great mystery, this of the wind. Jesus talking about the Spirit of God. I want to say a few things about the wind. It's sovereign in its bestowal. The wind blows where it's sent. Have you ever noticed somebody can be sitting in church service, somebody get up and come give their heart to Jesus, and people sitting beside them were just not affected at all, hardly. You see, it's sovereign in its bestowal. God deals with our hearts by the Spirit. Jesus died for everybody. The Bible says that the Spirit will not always deal with man. But God will deal with your heart by the Spirit. And you can only get saved when God is dealing with your heart. I've heard a lot of people say, "Preacher, I'm going to call you and I'm going to get saved on my deathbed." You're not going to get saved if God's not dealing with you. This great mystery of the text. He said this. He said, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest a sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit." You see, this mystery of the wind, it's sovereign in its bestowal. And secondly, it's sudden in its blowing. I love it. A lot of times we come to service and things seem to be a little flat, and all of a sudden, I remember a few Sundays ago, the Haney's was up singing, boy, the service was going real flat, and all of a sudden, it just started moving. Aren't you glad you can go to a church where the Spirit moves? Now, it's sovereign in its bestowal. It's a God thing, and only God can do that. We can't make the wind blow. You know, all of this new crowd, this woke crowd, they putting windmills up every place. Well, honey, if God don't blow on it, it ain't going to do nothing. You're going to look funny charging your electric car with no wind blowing. It's sovereign in its bestowal. It's sudden and it's blowing. And I will say this, it's surprising in its behavior. Oh my goodness. How many times we've been surprised all of a sudden that the wind started blowing. But lastly, and don't forget this, is significant in its benefits. You won't get saved without the Spirit of God. No man comes to the Father except the one who sent me draw him, is what Jesus said. You must be born again. He's talking about the water, the Word, no doubt, are born physically if we are alive. We come in this world by our mother, but he says you must be born again. Nicodemus said, well, I want to ask you something. How can I be born again when I'm old? How does this happen? And Jesus starts talking about the water and the Spirit. Now, we know that you can't, that baptism don't put you in heaven. The thief on the cross was not baptized. By the way, the Bible said Jesus baptized none of those. We're only saved by grace through faith. What is that? I think a lot of times a preacher misses it. It's so simple to tell people, if you want to be saved this morning, let me tell you how to be saved. Do you feel the Lord dealing with your heart? Then the Bible says this, if you would come to Him by faith, He would in no wise cast you out. That's what that Bible says. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved. Because He died for you. Now, let's look at Nicodemus and y'all be the judge. What happened to Nicodemus? He's not mentioned anymore in this text. Jesus says these great words. He says that, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world, sent His Son in the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. He didn't send His Son in to condemn the world, but He sent His Son in that the world could be saved. The mystery. Where is he mentioned again in your Bible? Oh, Nicodemus. Let's look at him real quick. I'm done. John 7, verse 50. Turn to the right in your Bible. John 7 and 50. What happened to Nicodemus? Well, he's still hanging around them Pharisees. John 7. But he does something. They've accused Christ of doing many things. And in verse 46, this is the religious people talking. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Do y'all really believe this man's what they're saying about Jesus? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? We want to know. Any of y'all believed on him? Now watch Nicodemus. This people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And Nicodemus said to them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doeth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? We find Nicodemus speaking out for Jesus. Do you speak out for Jesus? And then the last place we find him, turn to the right in your Bible, John 19. The Lord's went to Calvary and He's died. We see this man appear again in our Bible. Look what he does. Only three times in the whole Bible is Nicodemus referred to. But here in John 19:39, you'll notice. Let's get 38. After Jesus has died, He's on the cross. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, been a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore, took the body of Jesus, and here it is in verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus. And look how the Spirit of God mentions him again, which at first came to Jesus by night. He's always mentioned that way. And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Preacher, what do you think? I think Nicodemus got saved. That's what I think. When nobody else would stand up for Jesus, Nicodemus said, "Do we judge a man before we've heard the whole case? Do we crucify people before we find them guilty?" And then, let me share, if you'd come after they put him on the cross, old Joseph of Arimathea went to get his body, and Nicodemus said, "I'm going to do something too." He was interested in the body of Christ. Are you interested in the body of Christ? This morning, you must be born again.